Second one first. Always hit the second one first.
Second one first, world's most golf's most okayest podcast. I always mess it up. You'd think that would get that right after 40 episodes, 40 plus. But I am here today. It's Vinny. Heath not here today. Heath is deciding to take a vacation right in the middle of a PGA championship. Actually, that's not fair to him. He's up in doing some work, doing a job. But we do have a fill-in today. Maybe our biggest fan? I don't know. I don't want to put too much pressure on him. But we do have Richard Least with us. What's up, Rich?
According to Facebook, I am the biggest fan. Facebook has given me a badge and let me know that I am the number one fan. I get notifications that like I got a special badge on Facebook that like that specifically shows me being the top fan. Yeah.
I wonder if Zuckerberg just hands that out to anybody
on Instagram.
We'll have to talk to Zuck. You can't just give awards out on our behalf. But I believe you are the number one fan.
To comment on everything. I try to drive social impact into it.
I appreciate it.
If I've seen it or I know the answer, I'm like, what? Like, you got to be kidding me.
You do. We do appreciate it. Yeah. You are definitely the most engaging character on our social and avid listener, because we'll get text messages about what we should put in the podcast and whatnot. How you doing?
I guess I'm the world's most okayest fan. I think that's fair to say.
Actually, you're probably the okayest fan.
I have flaws.
You're the fan, our only fan. Well, I guess let's get into it. I appreciate you being here. Let's get into tour talk. Tour talk, we talk about the world of the golf tour. Last week was the AT&T Byron Nelson, a crazy showdown on Sunday. Everyone and their mom was in it. Hideki was in it. Jordan Spieth was in it. Justin Thomas is in it in a moment. Xander Schauffele, he set the leaderboard early in the day. And then, of course, KH Lee winning it by a stroke, but 26 under. Did you watch any of it?
26 under. You know, I watched part of it, especially when I saw the fantasy golf league that you started,
that I quit,
no longer in. I am still like devoted to. And when I saw scores coming in with like 10 under, which hasn't happened in most of the season. Obviously, and I won the round with three golfers because they like I had three get cut and I had three golfers going. I was like, I have to see what's going on here. Because I had Hideki and Spieth and they like single-handedly won it for me.
Oh, so you won last week.
So I won last week. I won that tournament.
You had the best two golfers for it because they were playing lights out.
Yeah, I won with three golfers. Everyone else still had their four and I won with three.
It was crazy. Like, I was watching the scores throughout the weekend, and then obviously Sunday was watching it. Justin Thomas, I think he eagled, and I was like, you know what? I was gonna go run errands and whatnot, but he eagled and made it. He got within one stroke of the league, and I was like, oh, I'm just gonna sit here and watch it for the next like 3 hours. And I'm glad I did, because it went back and forth. And if Jordan doesn't miss a 2-3 foot putt. Yeah, that's a tie match going on 18 there. What do you think about that? Do you like it when tournaments are 26 under? Like so low?
I like it, but personally, it makes me feel like if I golf that course, I would still shoot 110.
Right.
Like I'd still shoot like 100, 110. So when they're going like 26 under, I'm like, what the hell? Like, I think it shows just how dominant professional golfers are, and have the ability to be based on the course, and you know how the conditions are and how they play, and it just shows you how much better they are than the average golfer. So part of me is like, oh yeah, it's like when they get to like the Masters and they're like somebody shoots one over and you're like, one over, I like on a good day, like maybe I could get there, and it gives you hope, but you just don't realize how hard that course is. Like it, the average person doesn't realize how challenging certain courses are when a professional can shoot like one under, two under, and kind of win the tournament. Whereas they come in here and Hideki shoots, or like Schauffele shoots 11 under in a round.
And loses. You're
like on the and loses
by three. I think 26 under in a round is just crazy, and also the top five being 23 under. I like it once in a while. I don't like it. I think golf, it should be like, you know how golf's hard for us where we shoot and struggle bus it, you know, amateurs. I think they should have to be, I think par should be equal to them. So I don't know what they have to do to, like, so when they make the greens fast and hard, like in the US Open, and they get upset and complain about it and the rough is thick. I like that. I like five under that wins the tournament, because it shows that you are overcoming what should, like, the equivalent of a hard course for us is that these guys are, it really shows how good these guys are. But every once in a while, it's fun to see a shootout like this, because it's like anybody can win if they're all dropping 10 under and around.
Well, I also think strokes matter more. Like when they're tighter, like strokes matter so much more. When everybody's shooting under par, it's like, listen, how much better can you get? Like you're getting birdies. You're like pars, and this it, what seeming to be like pars on this is what's bad. You know, like yeah. Whereas it, like getting a par at Augusta or getting a par, you know, at the these other courses, it's still meaningful. Like it's still meaningful. It still keeps you in the hunt. Like
yeah. This week's a big week. You join us for a big week, which is a major week. It's PGA Championship week in Tulsa, Oklahoma. I thought for a second we were going to talk about your boy Bryson being in, but he just dropped out today. So
wait, he did? I thought he just went back in. I read a thing this afternoon that he said, "Well, my wrist isn't falling off, so I'm good to go."
That was yesterday or Monday.
Oh, that was yesterday.
Okay. The news coming out of Tulsa is that Bryson wants to be more, closer to 100% before giving it a go. I'm going to be, you know, it's a bummer. I saw this interview with him that I wish I saved it. It was a Twitter, but he was like saying, "Hey, I'm glad I'm out here. Da, da, da. Everyone deserves a second chance. It's been a rough couple." And I was like, what are you talking about? What is up with your boy? Are you ready? Hey, you know what? We haven't had you on, I don't think, since this, but I'll give you the same opportunity right now to get off the train that I gave Heath.
What if I don't want completely off the train, but I want to be in the luggage cart? Nope. I don't necessarily want to be the conductor, but I'll put your bags on. I'll do that. Like, who doesn't want a comeback story? He's not in my top five right now. I'll say that. Like over the past year,
or because of his
I think it's more of like the shenanigans. Like yes, he won tournaments last year. He did his thing, but then it was like, it's like when an actor gets so cocky that they become a diva, and like you take what you have and you just think that the world should succumb to you. Like mm-hmm. He got a taste of that and had a good year, and then had a good movie, had two good movies,
three,
and
three in a year.
Yeah, three good movies. And then he did a rom-com and it failed, and it made you see like all the flaws that he actually had. He's like, "Oh, you can do this one thing."
What was it? Then, what did he fail at that you feel? Was it his injury that, or was it just that his hype got built too much?
I think it's almost like he became too much. He became so much of an Instagram presence and started focusing so much on strength and speed.
Yeah.
That kind of lost the finesse of golf. And then I sent, like you guys talked about in the pod a while ago, when I was like, "Oh Jesus, like now he's doing dude perfect shots. Like, come on." Like, yeah. I want to see you play well on the golf course, not you hit a chip in your living room up your stairs that makes a Rube Goldberg down to make an iced tea. Like, I don't need that. Like,
he would. That's the guy, the professor. He would make that Rube Goldberg.
But like, my son would like watching that, but I'm like, no, I want to see you play golf and win. I want to see you hit a 390 yard shot accurately.
You know what's crazy is he could dial it back. Honestly, he could dial it back to carrying 330, 340 and probably be really dominant. You know what I'm saying?
But that would be a whole other adjustment for him. Like that, like all that, I feel like
swing normal
like that would have implications. Just be normal, man.
Just be normal. You don't have to try to crush it.
It's like when you're fucked up and you're like, man, I just wish I'd be sober. I just need to be sober. I can't do it. Like, it's going to take some time.
It's like all he has to do is just, you know, go back to normal. But you know who's back, though, this week? Our boy Tiger.
That is true. Oh, man. Tiger's back. And he is,
of winning.
Nobody's had more preparation on this course than Tiger.
Well, right, dude.
Currently, as it stands. Yeah. Like, so.
You know what's funny is that he still has to play the round of golf. He got the.
Has to play the round of golf. Yeah. Like, I get it. But it's like.
Like, if there's a pop quiz of like what happens when you hit it on this part of the green, yeah, he might win that. But it's. He really has to still.
You still got
to
play.
Yeah.
Still got to play. In foot joys. Will he still be in foot joys this week, you think?
No, there's a picture of him in white foot joys. I still don't know what Nike's doing. I have no clue. Nike's whatever completely they're doing,
not fast enough.
Yeah, I mean, just imagine the group of people. They could sell Nike orthopedics and sell it to a whole new group of individuals. Like the 65 plus crowd going through.
I was going to say my dad would be on that, but then I held back because I'm like, I would be on that. Like, I would buy Nike.
If they're
like, I test him out. Yeah. Listen, I'm at a place where it's all about comfort these days. Like, I haven't resorted to the Nike Air Monarchs, but like,
no, I still have a pair.
I'm in some wide foot Hokas right now, and they're the best shoes ever.
I think when I turned 40, you sent me a pair of the quintessential adult man shoe, the New Balance, like 380s or whatever they are. I still have them. I'm just waiting. Till I turn 50 to start wearing those bad boys. I actually probably wear those ironically and people will be like, oh, nice shoes.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. These are different. Where'd you get those?
Those are cool. So Phil out, but that's not a surprise. That was the big story last week when Phil withdrew. He didn't say it. The PGA Championship said it. I'm not surprised. It's not like Phil wants his first tournament back to be and having to answer a grip load of questions about the Live Tour at the major championship he won at 50, you know? Interesting.
Any tournament he goes to, that's going to be the main question.
Yeah, but like, you don't want a big one, though. You know what I'm saying? There's more eyeballs on a major than, like, if you were at the AT&T, you know?
There is
doesn't matter. He's probably going to play Live. Probably the Live Tour anyways, and he got denied when he submitted, and I wonder if he submitted to play or he just said screw it, I'm gonna go regardless of your permissions or not. He's probably still suspended. He probably got suspended for 6 months.
I mean, if he was suspended, why aren't they just saying that? Like, PGA, don't you need to announce the suspension for it to begin?
PGA never announces suspensions. So like a long time ago,
they're like the jail system. They're like, yeah, he gets credit for time served.
Well,
credit for time served.
A long time ago, Dustin Johnson just disappeared off the tour for no reason. And he failed a drug test for cocaine and they suspended him and no one knew why. He was just not playing golf for like 8 weeks. So they're not going to do that. So
there's a pretty interesting article that we didn't put it on the rundown, but just how everything changed for Phil in just 1 year and how it outlines his timeline about, like, you know, starting with one of them was like him arguing about John Rahm's vaccination status and then going to the Detroit Free News, like then the gambling thing with the Detroit Free News, about the gambling debt. He said that his excessive coffee drinking had protected him from catching COVID. It was just like a series of.
No, like, dude, that's not real. Come on.
No, it's real. No, it's real.
He said that?
Yes.
That's well,
He suggested that his excessive coffee drinking was a habit had protected him from getting COVID. And then it was like the argument against PGA, against the 46 inches, the tour policy that banned green reading books. And he claimed that he was holding on to $10 to $20 billion in digital moments that top pros had created, thanked Elon Musk about his $11 billion tax bill.
Well, I think what happened,
he asked why we couldn't try achieving herd immunity with Omicron virus. He announced incorrectly that he'd won $8 million first prize place. PGA's tour invite player. Like, he claimed that he was considering leaving PGA Tour because of its obnoxious greed. And then, you know, he chimed in when Charlie Hoffman's about the unfair ruling.
Yeah.
Like there's been a lot like in the last year.
He's probably
someone needs to take a breath.
Well, maybe all those things seemingly up until he made that crazy statement. I think maybe
that was the coup de grace. That was,
That was it. I think he was maybe leveling a case seemingly against the PGA Tour of why he wanted to do the LIV Tour, you know, over the last year. So, I mean, I don't, you know, to be quite honest, if he doesn't say that crazy thing about the human rights and stuff like that, and he just keeps it to the PGA's greedy, we need a competing tour, he's actually probably a hero in a lot of the golfers' eyes.
For sure. Like, I think he was saying a lot of things that golf, besides drinking coffee to prevent COVID, but saying a lot of the things that
maybe I should start drinking coffee
golfers again. Were thinking.
Yeah.
Like, he became what he thought was the voice of the PGA Tour people.
I wonder, it's funny, a lot of the PGA players now are coming out and being like, see you guys later, go if you want to. And I wonder what happened behind closed doors that they all turned, because it seemed like a lot of people were thinking about it. I saw, unfortunately, I saw a post that Ricky Fowler said he hadn't made a decision yet if he was going to go to the LIV Tour or not. And it really breaks my heart to see Ricky go.
Yeah, that's a.
But I get it.
I know
it.
How I.
He's
I
losing know, his tour status. So
guy is to you. Yeah, so, I know how. Yeah. When you're losing your tour status and you get guaranteed money,
100%. You got to go. Who do you got winning the PGA this week?
I'll tell you what. I have. There's everybody's favorite right now, and you might pick him. I don't know. Scottie Scheffler is like top of the list, it seems like, in terms of odds and everything. But I'm going with somebody that hasn't necessarily, that I haven't seen in like the odds or the books. I'm going with Colin Morikawa.
Not a bad choice. Not a bad choice.
Yeah. I just think he's consistent. He plays well in these things. What he's been in like the top three for a while now.
You mean in the world?
Like, in the world.
Oh, yeah. He's been in the top five for 2 years, I think.
Yeah. So it's like, I don't know. I think he has a good day. The thing that I haven't taken into consideration is the elements. It seems like it's going to be pretty windy there.
Dude, it's going to be hot and windy. God, they need that wind. Because they say it's going to be like 95 degrees and it's muggy. Yeah, they need the wind. I mean, I would die out there.
What about you?
Complain. I would be complaining and crying. It's hot out here. And Heath would be yelling, shut up. Quit saying that. And I'd be like, but it's hot.
But would you say, like, what hole would it take you to start saying it?
On a driving range, dude. We would literally pull the car up, park the cars, grab the bags out, check in the pro shop, walk to the range. Before I even take a club out, I would go, it's hot out here. It would take 30 seconds for me to complain.
Yeah.
With a 95 degree percent humidity, without a doubt. I'm going to go with Hideki. I think... After last week, he's the last two tournaments, he's actually played really, really well. And he played great last week. Could have won it. It just, you know, he was out by a couple strokes. I think he wins it here. That's who I got.
I think that's a solid pick.
Let's head on over to twosome. Twosome. This is where we talk about our golf life, and so happens that Rich and I, we played Friday. It seems like forever ago at Angeles National. I didn't play particularly well. I think I shot a 94. What did you end up shooting?
Well, it's a tale of two nines.
Yes,
I shot a 110. I shot a 48 on the front, and then like a 60 on the back. So I think I shot a 108.
I like golfing with you about, because when we start playing golf and we're playing and you start off having a good round and making good contact with the ball and playing decent, you get super hyper focused and you just zone out and you're like, this is going to be the best round of my life. And you just zone out. Joking goes away. It's like, I'm going to play the best round.
It's like your Tyler. It's like your Tyler Henry. That is exactly what happens in my mind too. Like first hole, boom, crush it. But like, and every time it's like, I think I missed it. I either have a par or I like get so close to a par and a bogey. And I'm like, okay, this is going to be all right. And then the next hole,
it gets quiet in the golf cart. No, we're playing golf, baby. So excited to get to your ball. Like you hit the ball. I teed off. And I'm put my driver away. You're already in the cart and I'm driving. You're the passenger. I'm about to slide into the cart. My butt hasn't even hit the seat yet. And you hit the gas pedal to take off. Like we got to get to my ball now before you lose focus on your next shot. Like you hit the gas pedal to drive to your ball before I was even in the cart.
Yeah. I have a singular focus.
You do. You're like, it's so funny. Another thing you like to do while we're golfing, is you like to hunt for golf balls.
Oh, for sure. If I get a little sidetracked, like you're hitting a ball and I'm like to the side, I might just like look over there and see if there's anything there.
And then when you go on the hunt, like you were.
Usually it's every on the hole, hunt for every my hole. Ball. Like. Usually it's on the hunt for my ball and I'm like, okay.
Do you know how long you have to look for a golf ball?
Educate me, Vinny.
3 minutes.
30 seconds.
30 minutes. 3 minutes to look for your ball. On average, what do you think you look for a ball? 7-10?
No. I'm also like, I'm quick to look and I want to find it, but I'm also quick to give up. Like, because I'll find like three other balls.
You are whatever, not. And then. For example, and this is perfect because the night before. So the night before, you call me and we're talking about something. And you start giving me crap for my top three things in my golf bag. And you start busting my chops about having Band-Aids in my golf bag. And you call me Peter Pan. Are you a wuss? All sorts of stuff. Just busting my chops.
Oh, and, honey got a boo-boo and think a bandage.
Yeah. And I go, you better hope.
He's a little guy.
You better hope that you never need a Band-Aid because I'll let you bleed out before. I'll call 911, but I'm going to let you bleed out and not put it on. So you striped a ball, like striped it, and it went into this bush, like over the cart path. Like it was a good hit. It was just too far.
I remember it well. Like
it was too good.
And this is, yeah, these are like the things that, like, that's the round I was having. I was like, oh, this is my club that normally goes 200, but everything was kind of clicking. Even that, the drives, like everything was clicking and I was hitting drives farther than I have. And that one, I just squared up, flushed it. It was straight.
Yeah.
Like everything about it was good.
So it goes into this massive bush.
Too good.
And I go, oh, Rich, I think your ball's in there. And I'm going to lie, this thing's like in a fortress of foliage. And I would never even think about going in there to get that ball. You go and try to weasel your way back in there. And then all of a sudden you come out about 7 to 10 minutes later and you go, ow.
Now that 7 to 10 minutes later was valid. I was at like, not only was it foliage, It was a cactus minefield.
I didn't know it was cactus
that I didn't take into account. Like, I didn't take that into account. I thought it was like cactus on the first ledge. I'd just get around it, and then I'd have to like.
So you came out looking like a porcupine, and I think you needed a Band-Aid. And I first thing I said to you, as soon as you come out, as you're poking these things, pulling these things out of your hand, was, "You are not getting a Band-Aid, sir. You are not getting a Band-Aid."
This is true. This is true. And I had, I mean, no joke. This wasn't just like one or two.
No, they're all over.
Like cacti. This was, my hands were covered almost like little tarantula things, like for self-protection. Like I felt every time I put my hand in my pockets, it felt like splinters were like going. And that's after I thought I removed them all. And then as I was putting, like a little frustrated after I was putting, I looked down and I'm putting. And I'm like, oh, and I look to the side of my leg and my whole left leg is covered with them. And you're like, dude, you have these things. I'm like, yeah, little help here. Can you help me pull them out? Like, they're ones I can't see. So then I have you and Ian like pulling out.
Covered, dude. I mean, so that's where like that thing I looked like when I said when I first saw that ball, I was like, nah, it's not even worth it. I didn't even see the cactus. I was just like, nah, I'm good. Like, I wouldn't even dig back there. And I play AVXs. They're probably like $4.75 a ball.
Question. If I would not have got that ball, would that be a lost ball? Is that a stroke?
It was still a stroke.
Still a stroke.
Regardless if you found it or not. Unless you played it from back there.
Got it. Sometimes that rule messes me up because sometimes I feel like I lose a stroke for the ball and then I lose a stroke for the drop.
Well, no. So I think you were, that was your second shot, right? So you go two in, drop three, hit four onto the green, right?
Yeah.
Then you five, missed your putt, and then you missed the little shorty putt.
And then you missed the, the kick in the nuts of all of that is like, I was in like a little distracted in a bad mental state that I didn't focus. Like I should always focus on everybody. Yes.
We're playing for money. That's the only reason I counted it.
Yeah. I was not taking it. Like I lost a little bit of focusness that we were playing for money. And also that if I would have just like, spent five extra seconds and lined up the putt rather than just walk by and tap it, that I could have had a carryover. Instead, I just walked up and tapped it and it missed. And then it was like, oh, I won the hole. And I was like, wait, what? And they were like, yeah, we said it. And I was like, huh? I was like bleeding from the leg, like my hands, I could feel like the splinters like running down my fingers. All in all, my fault. Get it. I get it.
It was fun though. Can't wait to do it again. You get your Summer Friday soon, right? I think I do too.
I hope so. Yeah. Summer Fridays.
That was awesome about Angeles National bringing back they brought back the beverage cart, which we saw on the first hole. And she was like, last call. But it's there though. It's there.
There. And that the snack stand was open, but bizarrely, it was closed by the time we finished the nine.
Yeah.
But just happy that they're expanding their hours a bit and that the cart girl is there. Cause you came in being like,
I hate this place. First of all, yeah. Hate it. And then what for the price of it? Like, it's just not like you don't get any of the extras. Cause like there's a time where that the snack shack just shuts down for roughly an hour, right in the middle of like peak tea times. Which is crazy.
Yeah. And they're not the quickest either. Like you round the turn, you're like, yeah, I'd like a vodka lemonade. And they're like, okay. And then God forbid, don't ask for food unless it's like prepackaged because.
Dude, it's amazing. But with speaking of like prices and drinks and like beverage cart, the PGA Championship, there's photos going around of the price of beer. And it's like $28 a beer. Or sorry, $20 a beer, like $18, something like that, which is crazy. But you're going to be there, right? So you're going to pay it. It's not like you're not going to pay $20 for beer. You're probably going to pay $60, you're probably going to pay $100 worth of So you can get 5 beers for the day, right? While you're there.
Yeah. And with tip, you're paying about $170 for beer for 5 beers.
Well, I mean, if they're $18 a piece, you're probably going to chip that 20, right? You're not going to go crazy with the tips. I think the bar staff's going to lose out, to be quite honest.
Okay, well, let's take it in my scenario, though. Not really a beer drinker.
Yeah,
I'm going to order a Jack and Diet.
Which was cheaper.
And then I'm going to order a double, which was cheaper, but I'm going to order a double. Yeah,
so you're paying $30. I saw hard liquor was $15 on that thing.
So then I'm spending $30 a drink.
Paying one. And they get shorter, too. They're smaller. So you're probably going to take 6 of them, 7 of them.
Exactly. Exactly. Because you're like, I need a couple. I spent all this money and I'm like 2 bills in on like some Jack.
So this is kind of got me thinking. Let's do a top 3 of high price things that no matter what, you're still going to pay for it. Like, for example, so my first one is probably going to be paying $175 to play Angeles National because it's the only course that's got an available tee time. So that's my first one.
Okay. Well, I think that's it. Like, I'm going to pay for golf. Like, if it's readily available. So that's a good one. I'm going to say, I mean, it goes straight to this. I don't care what the drink prices are. I'm paying them. Yeah. If I'm out there, I'm paying them. Like, so, you know, not to say we're not past like the point of putting some Fireball in our bags and some Trulies and rolling out there. Yeah. But if the case merits,
If you're somewhere, they're like basically if you live in New York City or LA and they're like, $17 for your drink. I get that. Yep. 100%. I wouldn't even question. Yeah. When I'm out, I don't even question it. Second thing, I'm going to pay double the price on a pair of sneakers on the secondhand market that I want. If I don't get it on the drop.
Okay. We're talking things outside of golf as well.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Okay. That's fair. I get that.
I think I spent one time I spent $400 on a pair of Jordans once, which if I would have got them on the drop would have been 170, maybe 220.
What's funny? Okay. So my wife is always like, you are so cheap on certain things that make no impact. I'll save a paper plate for 2 weeks if I can. Like, and she's like, they're paper, like, you're not saving money. Like, that's like a penny. She's like, but yet, like, you'll leave like the doors open and the air conditioning on right. all day, you know, like, but yet I will save this paper plate. Like, there are life things that we need. Uh-huh. But you think that this is what's going to make us a millionaire is the paper plates.
It will.
So I will spend money when it comes to convenience. Like,
yeah, that's general. But pick an item because I would pay.
Housekeeping. Somebody to come in and clean my house and mow my lawn. I would pay for that. Like, that's great.
Good thing your lawn's about 5 square feet. Your front lawn.
It is. It is. And I get a great deal. $130 a month.
Dude, I'll mow your lawn for $130 a month. Because that your lawn takes, 10 minutes to mow?
What? Well, I mean, and the back lawn is artificial grass.
I know. That's what I'm saying. I'll mow your lawn for $130.
But granted, that takes a lot to actually. That takes more time than mowing.
You just wash it off with the hose?
No.
Do they blow it?
Excuse me.
They blow it?
Tons of leaves.
So
tons of.
So they go back there and they blow the lawn and stuff. The artificial part.
Correct.
Oh, so it's not just
No, not just mowing. Like, they're raking, they're pruning the rose bushes, they're doing all that stuff.
The rose bushes. I will pay top dollar for Fluff and Fold.
Okay. At one point in my life, I did that.
I'll pay top dollar for Fluff and Fold.
At one point in my life, I did that. And then I was lucky enough to.
If I had a washer and dryer.
Relationship and a wife.
Yeah. Yeah. If I had a washing machine in my apartment, I probably wouldn't. But I will definitely Fluff and Fold.
Okay. Last one for me. And this is, I will gamble. Like, I will, you know this and I know this. Like, oh, what? Like, $5 whole, Vegas. They're like, oh, next thing you know, chips turn into Monopoly money.
Yeah.
And you have like $100 on a blackjack hand.
No big deal.
Doesn't seem real. Meanwhile, if I were to go anywhere and I were to like spend $100, I'd be like, ooh.
Yeah. Imagine sitting at just like a restaurant and every minute someone comes up to you and goes, $100, sir. And then takes $100. And then another minute, $100, sir. You're like, after like three, you'll be like, what the heck? And then finally they give you one back or two back. So you're like, okay. This is cool, but you'd be like, "Now I'm done playing."
You'd be done playing. Another way I've thought of it too is like, what if rather than money, I had to put like actual items down on the gambling table? Like,
oh yeah.
Like okay, here's a TV. oh, double down. Okay, here's two TVs. <That's> true. Like, I think that would stop gambling immediately. If people like had to put down things that like were actual items that cost that much, mm-hmm. You'd be like, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Blackjack's crazy because you don't really realize it. Cause like you start off, let's say you start with a minimum and then you win like three hands in a row. You're already playing $100 a hand, not even realizing it. And then it'll build up and you can be playing $200 a hand. You're still not realizing it. Where in reality, if you bet $200 on anything, you'd be like, like it's crazy.
Yeah, that's why I think like I actually need it to be items, like things that I put out there. Cause at the end, I'm like, you leave for the night, you're lying in your bed, right?
Yeah,
and you've gone through like, if I just would have stopped there, if I just would have stopped there. And then you start thinking like, damn it. I lost a MacBook Pro tonight. Like, yeah. I could have bought a new MacBook. Like, what? I could have bought. You start thinking of the things you could have bought with the money that you.
Last time we were in Vegas, I went down like $500 quick, like $500-$700, I think it was. Wait, it went quick before we even went to dinner that night. I was like, oh man, this sucks. And then by the time I went to bed, I was up $500. And then I was even Steven for everything I did that weekend. Plus I walked home with $1,200, I think. So I must've made like $2,000. I must've made $2,000 that weekend.
Dude, you were on fire. You were on fire.
Dude, you know what it was? The key was Willy Wonka penny slots was the go-to. It was amazing.
Oh, I remember that. You'd come back and be like, you'll never believe it.
Oompa doompa. Let's head on over to Around the Green. Around the Green. This is where we talk about news around the golf world. This first one's hilarious. So we play fantasy football, and you guys, you alluded to you playing fantasy golf. But this dude finished dead last in his fantasy football league. And in some, you know, sometimes the loser of the league, like in our league, you have to pay like $50, right? A $50 last place tax that you were excited about last year. And you ended up paying for the first time. You were pretty much,
I was championed the guy that advocated for like
50. There's that gambling. Tax.
Like, yeah, of course we should do this.
Yeah.
And of course we should do this.
You, what would you go? 0-10 to start the season off?
Yeah,
started off horrible. But this dude finished dead last. And I didn't even know you could do this. This is fantastic. But this dude finished dead last and had to go play the U.S. Open qualifier in his hometown. And he ended up shooting like 112, I think it was, right? What a great punishment. It's hilarious. Could you imagine being paired up with him, though? You'd be pissed.
Oh, you'd be pissed. He would ruin your whole game.
Yeah, dude.
Like, you're just waiting for this guy. Imagine me hunting for balls for 7 minutes on the edge, and you're like, dude, can we go? And I'm like, one found one. It. Like, coming out.
The guy that played with him sent a text. The last thing he said was, terrible, absolute joke to me and my playing partner. Terrible punishment, not fun to play with, but one hell of a story to tell now. First of all, the dude went to the wrong tee box. And got
Was he trying to play the whites?
No. He was like on hole one when he should have been teeing off on hole 10. And because they do split tees. So he got a 2-stroke penalty right out the gate for being late to the tee time. So that's hilarious.
We do you think do he this. Had to like wear like a shirt that said I'm a loser or like anything or if he like legitimately showed up and just tried to play the best golf of his life, like I'm going to show these fantasy football, like I'm going to show them up and show that this is going to be the round of my life.
Dude, I would have taken it so seriously just to shoot like under 100 and be like, I shot under 100 in the U.S. Open qualifier. That had to be a pain, but that was brutal. This is interesting. So all the talk of the LIV Tour and everyone going over there, Phil, Sergio last week with this, I can't wait to get out of here. Apparently, Jack turned down $100 million to go to the LIV Tour. The dude can barely hit the opening's tee shot at Augusta every year.
Okay. Did he turn down? Okay. This is where I think there needs to be clarification. Did he turn down being the spokesman for the LIV Tour, being the Greg Norman, or did he turn down being a player? Because being a player is a joke, but still probably worth $100 million to the Saudi-backed league.
It was probably to be a spoke, probably do what Greg's doing.
Yeah, but still, $100 million is $100 million. But this is why Jack is the best. Like,
that's so much money, dude. That's so much money. But so he does have principles, and I money, appreciate but, it. That's so much money.
But he said, like, he's like, I started the PGA Tour. Like,
yeah,
I was the spokesman for the PGA Tour. I'm not going to, like, why ruin a legacy by that? Greg Norman, and you've talked about this before, but Greg Norman to me, and is the consummate second. Like,
yeah,
that's what he is. I'm not going to bring up the analogy I've brought up in the past, because the last time I was on, we had this and you got offended by who I compared him to. But
who did you compare it to? I forget.
I'm not even going to say it.
Never mind. Yeah.
But yeah, like the difference between Greg Norman and Jack Nicklaus is night and day. Jack did start the PGA, but Jack's also got like, he's got wisdom for PGA and golfers. And he knows that where his bread is buttered. Like, He is Mr. PGA.
Yeah. 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 I also think,
and even you said last week, like you alluded to Tiger being like, yeah, he's top two.
Who, Greg or Jack?
No.
Oh, Jack. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, Jack. Without a doubt. I mean, you can easily argue he's number one. There's exactly. A strong argument for he's the greatest this golfer.
Strong argument for he's number one. So,
yeah.
Like, but still. $100 million is $100 million. I might go hit the first tee shot for five.
Right.
If I was him.
Dude, I'd do it for $10,000. Wait, who am I kidding? Oh yeah, I'll do it. I think I'm gonna be honest, if there was no human rights issues and Jack was at maybe the same age as Greg, I think maybe he goes for $100 million. You know?
Yeah.
He's probably like, I'm not going to be able to be around all that long. I mean, your family, though, is set for life, but selfish. Jack is selfish. Not thinking of family.
How much money do you need? Like, seriously, how much money do you need?
I mean, you got to look at it as generational wealth once you get past 15 million. And I think 15 million, right? Like once you get past 15 million, you got to think generational wealth.
Yeah, I think he's got that.
I can't imagine. Could you imagine just like, here's a check could you for 100 million? That's crazy. We should have probably talked about this in twosome, but there's an article from Golf Digest, and everyone should probably take this test. It's a test that says, are you a good golf partner? And it gives you 10 questions that you can do it real quick, and at the end, it tells you if you're a good golfer or not, a good golf partner or not. What was your score on this?
We took my score was 27 out of 30.
That's what mine was. It was a 27 out of 30. Let's go through the questions real quick. Real quick.
Yeah.
All right. After you hit, you just tell the answer what you said. We won't do the A, B, and C. After you hit the tee off on a hole, it's your partner's turn. You, what did you get? What did you say?
I know that there's probably going to be some controversy around this one, but I said I closely watched his drive to identify the line where it landed.
No, you did not.
I have bad eyes. I'm still like, I don't see the ball well as it goes off, but I do my best to try to see it.
Okay.
Bad eyes. Right. I knew that this was going to be from the beginning. You were going to say, stand off to the side and visualize your next shot.
Without a doubt.
Because I don't start.
I have literally asked you multiple times, watch this shot for me. I'll send swing, hit. Did you see where I went? No, I didn't see it. Literally.
But I tried. Multiple times. But I tried.
And he's also like, all right, second, your partner has a drive into the deep rough. You
help look for the ball for the next 3 minutes.
Of course. Yes, you do. I chose the same thing. Your partner is having a bad round. You
give him space or acknowledge that you've been there too.
Okay. I got this one wrong, apparently. I said saying he's taking it too seriously and remind him it's just a game. And it said, golf is frustrating enough without you making partners feel worse. Either be empathetic or just be quiet. All right. Number four, your partner just chunked an 8-9 approach. You?
Wait, just chunked. I say nothing, too.
That's the worst feeling. You and your partner hit tee shots to opposite sides of the fairway. He prepares to hit you.
Walk to your ball to be ready to hit when it's your turn.
Yep. Your group has fallen behind the group in front of you. You
lead by example by picking up the pace and suggest everyone play ready golf.
Yes. You sneak out. You're sneaking out first for an 18-day workday, knowing you'll need to check in on occasion. You do what?
I knew I was going to get this wrong, but I knew you'd call me on it.
Yeah.
Like, I am constantly checking my phone between shots.
Without a doubt, you are. 100%. Nonstop.
Yeah.
On the phone. You probably don't even realize you're golfing. You're more like working and taking small little breaks to hit your ball.
This is true.
Or on Instagram. Either one. Number nine, you're struggling on the course, hitting several poor shots in a row. You manage it by?
Working through it on your own and picking up when you start to slow the group down.
Yeah. I don't think I've been bad enough in golf to pick up in forever.
I've definitely
a friendly match there. Has turned intense in the back nine as the other three in the group grow silent. You,
I'm curious what you said. I said look for small strategic opportunities to diffuse the tension.
That's what I said.
Okay.
There wasn't an option here to be like try to get in the other person's head. That wasn't there, so.
I know. That's what I was looking for. And I think the closest thing to it is launch into a long, involved golf joke that requires everyone's full attention.
That would be Heath.
Oh, no. That'd be Heath. You were actually suggest you double the bet to make it even more interesting.
Maybe.
Like,
I don't think
you'll
so.
Pile on the pressure. Like,
yeah, that wasn't an option.
Let's just up this ante a bit.
That was an option. Let's head on over to a second one first. Segment first is where we give life a mulligan. What do you have, Richard?
Okay, so my second one first this week goes back to what we talked about in Tucson. My second one first is laying after a couple whiskeys, calling Vinny and calling him Peter Pan, and telling him how weak he was for carrying Band-Aids, because karma is an evil,
it was instant.
Evil.
I didn't think it was going to come that quick, but it came quick.
It came quick. It came the next day.
It was, who doesn't like Band-Aids?
Yeah. Who uses who puts Band-Aids in their bag? Grow up. Like, you don't need a Band-Aid. What are you, holding the club wrong? You got a blister? Like, come on.
And I don't think
the next day, the Lord attacked me with cacti. And I could have used some Band-Aids. I could have used it. So my second one first goes to me for judging Vinny on the necessities he has in his golf bag.
Like, you were angry Elf on that phone call.
It didn't help that you kept texting me, "Hey, angry Elf." And then pictures of Elf the movie. He's an angry Elf. I was like, grow up.
My second,
grow up, boo boo boy.
Yeah, dude. Like, that's so, I've never heard
it. Rub some dirt on it.
It's kind of like, it's like, it's one of those things where it's like, I feel like everyone uses Band-Aids. I think it's kind of like a widely accepted thing that Band-Aids help. And you were so against it. My second one first goes to, I think, people in general, like the human race. And you were there. Like, so we went out to a bunch of like comics to see a bunch of comics a couple weeks ago, and like major crowds were there. And I feel people forgot how to like act in public and like move with, you know, like 15,000 people around, or, you know, just like in general, like get in, like, they don't know how to line up. That's for one. They forgot how to line up properly. Everyone is just kind of like slow boating it. And just no one knows how to be in public anymore. Like, they just forgot about it after being a year away from it. They just forgot. I think, like, just everyone no one pays attention anymore when they're doing whatever. It's amazing.
It's turned more IMI. Like,
IMI?
Let's all follow, like, IMI. Like, it's all about me. Like, I'm going to get there the fastest. I'm going to do this. Like, I'm going to cut the line. Like,
yeah, it's crazy. I mean, we went to that show at the Bowl. It was just bananas trying to get in. And also, maybe the second one first goes also to other companies too. Hire your people back. Like, this, like, show, the short staffing, not working at all. But
people, you should also put it to the people who just don't want to work anymore. They're just like, screw it, don't want to work.
I don't want to work either, dude. Trust me. Let's go over to Rich's golf joke of the week. Since Rich is filling in, he's giving the golf joke this week. What's the joke, Rich?
Got big shoes to fill here. Okay, so yeah. Guy's driving home, and there's a homeless man on the side of the road, and he says, you know, like, need help. Any money you have, we'll work for food. We'll do whatever. And the guy stops and he rolls down his window and he's like, sir, can I ask you a few questions before I offer help? He goes, yeah. He goes, do you drink? And he's like, no, sir. Haven't drank in 10 plus years. I'm completely sober. Turn my life around. He goes, okay. He goes, do you gamble? Like, is this a gambling problem? The guy's like, no. He's like, I don't have anything to gamble. Like, I've never gambled. I'm just on a thing of bad luck. And the last question, he's like, do you golf? Have you ever golfed? And the guy's like, no, I've never golfed ever. Like, I've told you, I've just had a rough time. He's like, fine, get in the car. Like, get in the car. You come with me, taking you home. And they come home, and they get in the house. And the wife looks at him, and there's just like this gross guy in the house. And he's like, she's like, babe, what are you doing? He's like, oh, I just wanted to show you what a guy looks like who doesn't drink, golf, or gamble. Thank you.
That was a good one, Heath. You got some competition. We might have to call Rich up for the jokes. Jeez, crush it out the gate. Well, Richard, thanks for filling in for Heath. I think I might need you to fill in next week too.
Hey, let me know. Let me know. This is awesome. I appreciate the invite as the okayest fan.
The number one okayest fan.
The number one okayest fan.
Thank you guys for listening. Please subscribe and like on Twitter at Second One First and also Instagram. And please subscribe on anywhere you listen to the podcast. It's been a blast. And remember, always hit the second one first.